In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Joseph left the garment in her hand and fled and got him out. We're continuing our series on the Joseph story. In Genesis 37, we're introduced to Joseph. And Joseph was sent on a mission from his father to check out the peace of thy brethren. And in the story, we see that Joseph, as the heavenly doctrine describes, is meant not just this man we know in history that was one of these patriarchs that we look up to, the founding of the Israelitish and Jewish church, but Joseph represents the Lord himself. He is the heavenly Joseph. And because of the Lord's love for the human race, he came into the world. He was born as we are born, an infant, and grew. And he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And he came to seek out the peace of his church, the people that he had created. So the Lord loves us. He seeks our peace. He desires our every good. But we see what happened to the Lord himself when he came into the world and preached the gospel. A gospel of peace, a gospel of repentance, a gospel that they should take responsibility and turn from evil and do what is good, to love mercy, to seek peace and pursue it. But the Lord was hated by evil men and he was crucified. And we know how that story went. And with Joseph, even though he was given a gift of some wonderful dreams showing what would become of him someday, that he would become as a master, a ruler over the land. Yet when his brothers heard his dreams, they hated him still the more. And they conspired to kill Joseph, even as the Lord himself had been conspired against. And so Joseph was, instead of being killed, thrown into a pit. And from there, he was sold into Egypt to the house of Potiphar. And then the story continues in what appears to be an interruption with Genesis 37. We learn a bit more about Judah. And what we learn from the heavenly doctrine is that here is the origins of the Israelitish or Jewish church. And in many ways, it explains the anomaly of this church, which engaged in worship that doesn't seem like what we think of today as worship. They sacrificed animals. They had ritualistic cleansings. They had to follow certain prescriptions of external ritual that is something that we're not expected to do to get today. These things have been abrogated by the Lord. Yet how could that be a church? Well, the Israelitish or Jewish church was something of a placeholder in time, in the progression of churches on this earth. And we learned that it was a representative of a church, that from its beginning, from its establishment, the Jewish people were not interested in a genuine church, but they were agreeable to go through the motions of a church. And so in the story of Judah, we see that he ended up committing adultery with his daughter-in-law, who he thought was a harlot, and he had children by her. His daughter-in-law, Tamar, was said to represent the good of an internal church, the thing we aspire to, that our religion be something genuine from the Lord. But that kind of a genuine church was rejected. And so the Lord made use of them. And out of that church, the Lord preserved a remnant of those who would be faithful, who would love mercy, who would keep the commandments of God, even as we see Joseph kept the commandments of God. And out of that remnant, the Lord would establish a new church, the Christian church, which he did at the time of his first advent. So we see in these stories, we're learning about the Lord himself. The Lord said when he was in the world, "Behold, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." And so we're blessed to have the heavenly doctrine. The Spirit of truth is in those books. And here in the Arcana Celestia, we see, even as the Lord taught to the disciples on the way to Emmaus. Remember when the Lord had been crucified, there were these two men who were distraught over the events that had just happened in Jerusalem. But the Lord appeared to these two men after his resurrection and inquired of them. He got them to talk about the things that had happened and the things that were on their heart. And they said that Jesus had been crucified, the one who was going to be the Savior of the world. But the Lord rebuked them and said, "Did you not know the scriptures?" And he opened up to them, beginning from Moses through the prophets, all the things concerning himself. And they had bread together, and in the eating of bread, their eyes were opened, and they saw that it was the Lord. And they said, "Didn't our hearts burn with us when we walked in the way with him?" The Arcana Celestia, as it opens up these chapters in Genesis, they can inspire us to see that the Lord is walking among us. These stories are telling about the Lord himself. And when we come to see these things, won't our hearts burn within us to see the heavenly arcana, the secrets that show us what our relationship can be towards our God and our Father? The Lord does not intend to remain hidden and far away. He came into the world that he might seek out our peace, and that in responding to him, we can experience something of that peace even now. So we see that the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. Even in spite of the appearance of the circumstance, he was thrown into prison. He was sold into slavery. Nevertheless, he was of such a mind and of such a character that he wasn't going to use this outer misfortune to cause him to turn against his God in bitterness or discouragement. Well, no doubt he must have felt discouraged. But he was still going to do what was right, no matter the consequences. And so there, when all opportunity was afforded him to commit adultery and in all likelihood get away with it, he said something that was very profound. "How can I do this evil thing and sin against God?" It was not just fearing the consequences that his Lord, his master, might discover this, and so he was afraid of some sort of punishment. No, he knew that this was against the commandment of God. So we're faced in this world with being exposed to evils of every kind. And as we're exposed to evils from without, it doesn't take us long to discover that we actually have a kind of response to evil from within. We have a longing to evil. Evil is alluring to us. Evils appeal to our natural man. The heavenly doctrine describes the nature of the love of self in the world and how it draws us away from the loves of heaven and the world heaven and the loves to the Lord. We read from the Arcana Celestia a definition of evil. How do we see and understand what evil is? This is from the chapter that explains this Genesis 39, Arcana 49:97. The good of love to the Lord conjoins the man with the Lord, and consequently with all the good which proceeds from him. And the good of love toward the neighbor conjoins him with heaven and the societies there. And therefore, by this love also the man is conjoined with the Lord. But with the evil, the reverse is the case. Evil is of the love of self and the love of the world. For he loves no one but himself, others only so far as he regards them in himself, or so far as they make one with him. Hence, he diverts to himself the attention of all, and entirely averts it from others, and most especially from the Lord. So this is the problem with evil, the love of self, the love of the world. Not only does it divert attention to oneself, but ultimately it takes our mind and our hearts away from the Lord. We continue. In order for anyone to know what evil is and consequently what sin is, let him merely study to know what the love of self and the world is. And in order to know what good is, let him merely study to know what love to God and love toward the neighbor is. In this way, he will know what evil is and consequently what falsity is. And from this, he will know what good is and consequently what truth is. What could be more important for us than to see these distinctions between falsity and truth, and evil and what is good? Joseph seemed to have a sense of his purpose on earth, and the question is, do we share a sense of purpose, why we are here? Also in this chapter from the Arcana 5006, and yet the fact is that man is in this world in order to be initiated by his activities there into the things which are of heaven. So we're initiated by activities here in this world into the things that belong to heaven, and that his life in this world is hardly a moment in comparison with his life after death, for this is eternal. So this shows what the purpose of life is. It's not all about what happens here. And yet, the way we choose to act in this world will make all the difference for how we will spend eternity. So there's something curious about the attempted adultery here, this Potiphar's wife. She represents a kind of an orientation to what is described as natural good and the truth of natural good. It's the kind of good that we might respond to reflexively, just because it might seem to be good on the surface. And because it seems to be good on the surface, we can make a principle out of those things and say, well, this is what good is. When yet, we're asked to make distinctions between good that is higher and good that is lower. We're asked to make distinctions about our neighbor. Who is the neighbor we are to serve? And how do we best serve the neighbor who is in different states? And do we see that we're especially to be a neighbor for that which is good? Because if we are a neighbor to good, we are a neighbor to the Lord himself. For the Lord is in the good of the neighbor. So we're given several examples that refers to this moment in the story where Joseph realizes the severe danger he's in. He lets the woman keep his garment, he flees, and he gets himself out of there. So what is meant by this natural truth which steals the garment from Joseph? And isn't it interesting that Joseph's first garment was stolen from him, the coat of many colors? And now this garment, which must have been quite a handsome garment because he was made the head or the master of Potiphar's house. And we remember that the Lord himself was stripped of his garments, one of which was divided and another of which was kept whole as it was taken from him. So Joseph loses his garment at that moment of his flight. This is from 5008 in the Arcana. Let us take as an example that good ought to be done to the neighbor. They who are in truth spiritual natural, because Joseph here is in Egypt, he's in the natural, of course regard everyone as the neighbor. But yet all are in different respects and degrees, and they say at heart that those who are in good are in preference to others, the neighbor to whom good is to be done, and that those who are in evil are also the neighbor, but that good is to be done to them when they are punished according to the laws, because by means of punishments they are amended. And in this way also care is taken lest evil be done to the good by them and by their example. Those within the church who are in truth natural, not spiritual, and this would be like Potiphar's wife, also say that everyone is the neighbor, but they do not admit of degrees and distinctions, and therefore if they are in natural good, they do good without distinction to everyone who excites their piety, and oftener to the evil than to the good, because in their knavery, the evil know how to excite piety. So this woman represents a false standard, a false principle, that those of the church are to resist. We are to take a standard that's from the Lord himself, from his word. The Lord calls us to a higher truth. And so this is the circumstance of evil. It strips away the things that would make up our conscience, and we are, as it were, deprived and bereft of truth, even to the point that as we're following the Lord, it's as though our foundation is taken away from us. We're following our conscience, but at least for that moment, we lose a sense of confirmation that we're doing the right thing. In fact, we might be filled with self-doubts. So the truths that are there, that clothe us, that show us the difference, the distinctions between right and wrong, and how to serve our neighbor in a wise and merciful way, that's taken away from us. And we're left to be punished, to be cast into prison. But as we know, Joseph prospers even when he was in prison once more. If we put our mind to following the Lord, obeying the precepts of conscience, not just to go through the motions of being part of the church, but allowing that church to penetrate deeply within us, to be a genuine church, not just a representative of a church, then the Lord will speak to us. But we must be willing to take the action that is most necessary at those crucial moments when we're tempted by the allurements of the love of self in the world to do the right thing. So let's remember what Joseph did. He left the garment with the woman, he fled, and he got himself out of there. May we too flee with the Lord's help and guidance. Flee from all uncleanness, all kinds of evil, that the Lord can establish within us a new kind of heart, a heart of flesh, that we may do his will on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be all glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.